Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
The Volume.
How could he do that?
Are you on drugs? What?
Charles Darwin.
The Nerds is where it's at.
Welcome everybody back into Nerd Sesh. As always, I'm Carson Brever, and alongside me is Logan Camden. And it is officially March Madness season. I'm sure most of you guys have made your brackets. We are sitting just hours away from the first four games. Super exciting time of the year. Even though we don't normally talk college basketball here, I think that this is a favorite time of the year for both of us. Logan, bark twice if you're excited.
Roof, roof!
Yeah, just how excited are you for March Madness?
I mean, you said it, dude. It's the best time of the year. I know some people, you know, like Thanksgiving, like Christmas, it's their favorite time of the year. Mine has to be March Madness, man. I'm outside of UVA getting spanked the other night by Colorado State, which was demoralizing but expected. It's what UVA does every year. I'm very pumped for the tournament, and I'm more excited to talk about draft prospects, man. The prospect of these guys coming to the league and how it translates to the bigger stage.
Nice segue, dude. Really pro stuff there, because that is the lens through which we're going to be talking about March Madness today. I don't think any 2 days in sports compare to the Thursday and Friday of opening March Madness. I mean, it is just absurd. The stakes of it all, the drama, the chaos, the sheer amount of meaningful basketball going on at any given time. It's the best, dude. And even though I'm not dialed into college basketball throughout the year, it is just unmatched. But it is a funny thing because people think of me as the basketball guy, I feel like, and so people are always asking me for my March Madness takes. And I don't have that much great insight, guys. I watch college basketball for draft prospects. That is my full intent. That is what I focus on. And so I'm not really grinding a lot of these whack games on Tuesday nights in November and whatnot. So don't put expert stock into what I'm saying when it comes to my bracket. But when it comes to prospects, I do try to be prepared. And this is a very interesting draft class, Logan. So we are going to be talking today about the eight guys in the tournament specifically who I would say are as close as we can get to a consensus top eight in this field. Definitely not the top eight prospects overall. There are a lot of international guys at the top of boards this year, but this is also a draft class that is just lacking in the sort of standout talents that we're used to seeing. Last year, there was exceptional hype around the draft, obviously, with not just Wemby, but Scoot Henderson and the Thompson twins and Brandon Miller. This is a very different feel. So how would you describe this draft class overall?
You know, I think it's going to be deep, Carson, and I think there's a lot of skilled guys. There's not a ton of athletes that I'm seeing where I'm really blown off the page. Like last year, we had the Thompson twins. We had some other, you know, like Brandon Miller is a super explosive guy. But I think there's a lot of polish with some of these guys who are older, but there's also a lot of young guys that I see a wide range of outcomes. Like there's a lot of kids born in 2004, 2005 that are coming out that don't have a traditional polish to them, man, that they may be a couple years away. But I like it. It's just certainly not as – it's not one of the most overwhelming athletic classes that I've watched. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting to find a freak athlete that blows me away, because there were a ton in last year's draft class.
It's just a very surprising class, I would say, that there is a down year like this. We all knew that it was coming. Like, that's been the view on this draft class for years. But just when you think about how year upon year, classes are just building on, okay, this freakish archetype is now emerging to this freakish archetype. Like, all of the number one picks in recent years have been star caliber guys, and other dudes in those conversations in the top three have been viewed like largely on that same level as a prospect. You think about the top three that you have with Cade and Jalen Green and Evan Mobley. You think about Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith. You think about how exceptional last year was. It's just strange to have a year where there's this much uncertainty at the top. It feels like clearly the most uncertainty at the top since 2013, where it's like, you're not really sure that there's a number one caliber guy in this class. There have been other years where you're not sure who's going to go number one, but it's like, yeah, okay, there are these clear all-star caliber prospects. This is a year where that's just not the case. But I do still like the floors for some of these guys, and I think it's going to be interesting in terms of how teams approach this draft, because generally the philosophy is, yeah, I want to take the guys with the high upside at the top, even if they're not the most polished. But if you aren't super confident in those guys panning out, like if they're not the same caliber of upside as what you might get from an Amen Thompson, where it's like, okay, yeah, he can't shoot, but he is a one of one athlete, great playmaker, great defensive prospect, all this stuff. How much then do you still value that upside as compared to, hey, this guy doesn't have a star ceiling, but he's just a good basketball player. I just am confident that he's going to be a guy who I want on the floor for me. I think that's a really interesting conversation. It's something that we'll dive into more this year. But one thing that is normal about this draft class, Logan, is that we have some Kentucky guards at the top. Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham are both pretty consensus top 7-8 prospects in this class, both freshmen. Who do you prefer between those two Kentucky guards?
Between the two, I definitely prefer Reed Sheppard. I just think his shot is going to translate, but he's so much more than the shot. Now, I will say, the numbers are staggering with Sheppard. He's averaging 13 points, 4 boards, and 4.5 assists per game on 54, 53, 83, 71 splits. That's 71% true shooting with 2.5 steals per game. He's also shooting over 4 threes per game, but the thing that really stood out to me is, you know, his footwork, man. Every shot that Sheppard gets to, it seems like he's shooting with his feet in the same position. Anytime he's pulling up, it seems like he's pulling with the exact same motion. Like, his shot is just refined, man. It is butter. Bruce Lee has an old quote, you know, I fear not the man who has practiced 1,000 kicks one time. I fear the man who has practiced one kick 1,000 times. And Sheppard's stroke looks the exact same every time he's pulling up. It is, it's insane. If you're talking about spotting up, he's pulling up in the mid-range, he's literally one of the deadliest shooters I've ever seen. His touch is insane. But I think if you're just limiting him as a shooter, I think you're kind of pigeonholing him into something that he's not. I think he's a real point guard. Now, Sheppard's not a guy who's super explosive. He's not a crazy athlete, but he's a really good playmaker and passer. I've been astounded by his passing in transition. I think he's a great decision maker. He's deceptive, using fakes, moves out of triple threat. And he's a really impressive defender too, man. I think with how he creeps up on guys. And he's kind of thick, man. You know, it's deceiving. Like, you look at him on, whoa.
What did he say?
He's a little thicker than you think, man. You know, he looks a little slight on screen, but guys have a tough time bumping him off, man. Like, he's a buck 90, 6'3", 190 pounds. Like, Sheppard's not a guy that's going to be moved off too easily. So it's tough. He's not super explosive, but I don't think that's a problem. The comp that I have for this guy, and I try to do player comparisons with all of these guys, and they're never going to be apples to apples. I think every player is super unique, but I try to come up with comparisons to at least give a loose comparison on who a guy is going to be close to. The guy that I came back to with Reed Sheppard is like a supercharged Austin Reeves or a compact Klay Thompson. And I mean that in two different roles. I think he can play off ball in a Klay role with his relocating, with his pure shooting ability. Again, all this guy needs is a sliver of space and he's getting a shot off. But the craftiness level and the touch that I get with this kid, I see a Reeves level of being able to operate within the lane. Now, he's a little smaller. Again, he's 6'3". So he's a little smaller than Reeves, but There's a craftiness level and ability to operate in the mid-range and out of the pick and roll and inside the arc that is really similar to Reeves, I think. So that would be my player comp for Shepherd. And I think this is a projection. I think Shepherd is a starter one day. I think he's right below an all-star level. I think that he could reach either, you know, he could be an all-star or he could be like one of the best starters that's not an all-star. Again, the league's super talented. So that's my projection for Shepherd, though. But I think he is an absolute stud, and I think with his skill, I think this is a guy that can kind of work almost anywhere, man. I think Shepherd's a very special prospect.
I like him a lot. He is my favorite of all the guys who we're going to talk about today. So
really?
He's a Kentucky guard who I prefer as well. Yeah, which says a lot more about this draft class than Reed Shepherd, in my opinion, and that's no offense to Reed, but like the gap between the best guy in the tournament last year being Brandon Miller, who I was like, yeah, most years this guy would go number one. I was like, this is a guy who I fully expect to be an all-star, probably all-NBA player down the line. Reed Shepherd, it's like, I think this guy is a really high floor quality starter. I don't see much of a star ceiling for him. I also don't really agree with your comps. I think that Austin Reeves is actually a much craftier creator inside the arc. I think that he has a pretty exceptional level of deception and all the tools in his bag and the change in pace, the poise out of pick and roll, the foul drawing. Like, I don't see that level of craftiness from Reed Shepherd. And then the Clay comparison, it's like Clay 6'7". So there's just a physical advantage.
It's compact Clay Thompson, yeah. Man.
Yeah, well, I understand. Maybe more like Sam Merrill then. But this guy is a legitimately ridiculous shooter. You mentioned the efficiency overall. The fact that he's over 52% from deep on actual volume is absurd. And when I compare him to the other standout shooting prospects in recent years, I think about the guys who were like best in their class. Jordan Hawkins last year, Corey Kispert in 2021. Those guys had incredible profiles as shooters and were very proven off ball. Jordan Hawkins was incredible off movement. But I mean, just the sheer efficiency from Reed Shepherd, we haven't seen from a guy since maybe Aaron Nesmith in 2020, who only played like 15 games in the previous season, hadn't shot nearly that well from deep. So you were kind of like, all right, is this legit at this level? He's a 100th percentile spot up player, Logan. He produces 1.75 points per unguarded jump shot off the catch. That is literally like dunk efficiency. Just think about that. 1.75 points is the equivalent of shooting 88% on two-pointers. Literally like dunks. That is what he is doing if you leave him unguarded. But off the dribble, he is producing 1.32 points per jumper. Steph Curry this season is producing 1.07. So that's like a 25% difference in efficiency off the dribble between the two of them. It's just unfathomable what he is doing as a pure jump shooter. He is consistently shot ready off ball. He has a quick release. He has a good feel for where to be, good off ball mover in transition. I mean, if you are not matched up, he is just absolutely lethal. And so that is his standout, like all world kind of trait. And no, he's not going to shoot this well at the next level. And sample size, of course, is a factor. But like, this guy is an exceptional shooter point blank. And he also has real range. So that is very valuable to him as an on-ball creator because he can run these super high pick and rolls. And he's not a guy who has a standout first step whatsoever. But he can get himself such a runway when you're having a ball screen set 30 feet out that's valuable for him getting into the lane at least a little bit. And he has been an effective creator on ball this year, including passes. He's created with 72nd percentile efficiency out of pick and roll and 81st percentile efficiency out of isolation. So he's been legitimately good there. And he is relatively crafty, and that can get him a step at times. Off ball, hit you with a pump fake to attack a closeout. His change of direction on his cross is decently quick. And so especially when he's starting from those super high pick and rolls and he does have those runways, he can get a step. But overall, he is quite limited in terms of his downhill pressure that he's going to exert. He also doesn't have an exceptional handle, and so he's not necessarily creating a step a bunch with that sort of next level ball handling, and he can be affected by ball pressure on occasions. He has a nice little intermediate game, short jumpers, floaters, hasn't turned to it a ton, but those are looks that you think he can get to out of pick and roll. But as much as I love his pure shooting, and I like his craftiness, and I like his overall poise, I think that lack of rim pressure, that lack of athleticism, or the exceptional craftiness, the next level change in pace where it's like some dudes can still get into the lane really consistently and finish there very effectively without being great athletes. I don't think Reed Sheppard is one of those guys, but he is a very sound decision maker. He's a guy who's going to spot cutters. And particularly, I think you see just the value of his IQ as a passer with how much Kentucky entrusts him with like executing their designed actions, running inbounds. Like, he's just going to make the right reads. You mentioned he is very good in transition. He's just a fundamentally unselfish guy out of pick and roll. He's a pretty good processor. He's got good touch. He's a solid lob passer, not like crazy accurate there, but he sees them. He sees the skip passes. So he's a good, not great passer, I would say. One issue that I do have with his passing is that he doesn't get a ton of velocity on his passes. And so sometimes when he is trying to make a skip pass or any sort of more audacious pass, if he's glued to that read for just a second too long, defenders can get a jump and that can lead to some turnovers. But overall, I mean, just a very high floor offensive player, lights out shooter. To me, projects as like a good secondary ball handler, good decision maker, guy who can play on or off ball, but lacks, I would say, the sort of really high-end on-ball creation to be a star there. But he is a defensive pest as well. His hands and his timing there are just absurd. I mean, he pickpockets people regularly. He also does a really nice job of affecting guys out of pick and roll with those rear view contests if he's trailing the play. He's a really impressive shot blocker given his physical attributes. He averages 0.7 blocks per game, which isn't crazy, but he's a 6'2 guard with a 6'3 wingspan. So like, that's pretty legit. He's just a playmaker. He's going to hassle you. He's going to make you uncomfortable. Jumps passing lanes. You mentioned him creeping up to guys. Like, he does have good instincts on those timely doubles. He's an aggressive off-ball defender overall. He's super high motor. He's a good lateral mover. He's going to apply ball pressure. Like, he's just a pest. He's a pest. My one concern about his defense is just how effective any NBA defender at 6'2 with a 6'3 wingspan is going to be. Like, I think he's going to be a good defender because of all the things that I laid out. I don't see that all defense sort of ceiling though because of the physical limitations. There are small defenders who can make all defense level impact, but it's rare and they don't really have the overall traits of a Reed Sheppard. Like, the guy who I generally think of as being like the most impactful quote unquote small defender is Drew Holiday, who is a couple inches taller, has a really plus wingspan, and is crazy strong. So that's the only real issue that I have, is just the defensive ceiling, and it's really his ceiling overall. But I do think he's going to be a good basketball player, secondary ball handler, versatile offensive player, good decision maker, great shooter, plus defender. That's just a guy who I want on my basketball team. But it does sort of feel like, and this isn't a one-to-one comparison because they're different, but shout out to another Kentucky guard. It's sort of like, hey, what if we took Kayson Wallace in the top five of the draft, which Logan, maybe you wouldn't have been opposed to because you love him. It's different because Reed Sheppard is such an exceptional shooter. Kayson also has more length, right? And so there's a little bit of defensive upside there. But just in terms of the role, in terms of this is a guy who has a high floor who I know is going to be good, but I struggle to see the star ceiling. But it's just a different draft class. And I think that guys are going to be drafting more for sure thing value because I just like Reed Sheppard. I'm so confident in him at least being good and being a legitimate quality starter that I would take a guy like that in the top five in this class.
I would have no issue taking him that high. I think I'm higher on his ceiling than you are, and I disagree. I think he could be better offensively than Austin Reeves. I know Austin Reeves is crafty.
I'm not saying that he can't be better. I'm saying it's very different how they go about producing. He's a way better pure shooter. Austin Reeves is really good. Reed Sheppard is comfortably better as a pure shooter.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's a lot more volatility with Shepard's perimeter game and the fact that he's going to be able to get hot. I think the fact that Sheppard is 19 years old with this skill set. He is one of the most polished 19-year-olds I've ever seen. To be this skilled and this developed this young to me is why I would take him, because I think he's got more room to grow. And again, I don't mean in terms of physically or athletically, but in terms of adding more deception to his bag, adding more counters. He's already got the stroke. He's already got the jump shot. It's about adding out. And again, the NBA is a different game. And I think that his physical limitations are going to come into play. I don't think he's ever going to be a great defender. He's a guy that's going to be able to be attacked. I don't ever think that there's limitations with his physical game, but I do see a higher ceiling. Like, I think right below sub all-star level is what I think solid starter.
Yeah, that's
two.
Fine.
Yeah.
We're not disagreeing. I just don't think he's going to be an all-star. And it's very rare in a modern NBA draft that you take a guy in the top five who you're like, I don't see the all-star ceiling, which I just don't see with Reed Shepard, but I'm really confident that he's going to be good.
But I think he could be. I think he could be better than Austin Reeves. I think he could be a lot better, just because.
So
of
do
the
I.
Shot,
I don't know why
difference.
You think that. I don't think he can be better than Austin Reeves. I'm saying he's different than Austin Reeves. He's a significantly better defender. I think he's ahead of Austin Reeves' trajectory as a playmaker. It's just different. Austin Reeves is a bigger ball handler who's more about craftiness. Reed Shepard is more about the pure shooting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think he is going to be better. I think he's just in a different class as a shooter, bro. I don't know. You acted kind of like it was disrespectful that I compared him to Austin Reeves.
That's not at all what I meant to convey. I'm just saying I think that they're quite different as basketball players.
I don't know. They're both white dudes. You know what I mean? They're both white, you know? So I think that they're really similar because they're both white guys. You know? Do you ever think about that?
Caucasian. They're both Caucasian. Okay. How would you grade Reed Shepard as a prospect, and what's your grading scale?
Yeah, I know we have different scales here, so my scale goes from 2 to 8, which is weird. I don't know why I didn't just like go 1 to 10 or something. I don't know.
No, you're a quirky guy.
2 is overseas. 3 is needs G League. If I give you a 3, it's like, yeah, brother, man, you cannot get minutes right now.
Okay.
4 is a bench warmer. 5 is a role player. 6 is a starter. 7 is all-star. 8 is Hall of Famer. And I want to be clear, too. These are projections, and I'm going to, for younger prospects, I'm going to lean more towards projections on all of my grades for these guys, but there's a lot more variance between the young guys just because they have more room to grow. You know what I mean? Between a 19 and 23-year-old. For Reed, I give him a 6.9, which is very, very high-end starter, right below all-star level, and the only reason I do that is because the threshold to reach all-star level, and that's the thing about all these guards, the threshold to be an all-star as a guard is so freaking high. And so I think Reed Shepard can be a very high, very high caliber starter, but I got him right below all-star level as my grade, 6.9 for Shepard. And he is my second ranked prospect on all of these guys we're talking about today.
Okay. So as I said, he is my number one, but the margins are slim between a lot of these guys we're talking about. That is one thing that I think's worth noting. There's no real standout, like, stamped all-star kind of talents who we're talking about today, but there are a good amount of quality guys who I think back end of the lottery you're comfortable taking, not just this year, but you might be in other years as well. So my scale is the same that I used last year. It's effectively going from 5 to 9. A 5 is a second rounder. 6 is an end of the first round kind of guy. 7 is a low-end lottery guy. 8, all-star expectations. 9, historic prospects. So last year, Victor Wembanyama was a 9. I had 4 guys who were 8 or higher. Reed Shepard is my highest guy we're talking about today at a 7.4. But I do really like his floor, and I like him as a prospect a lot. Okay.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, let's talk about the other Kentucky guy. Let's talk about Rob, Logan. How do you feel about him?
Rob Dillingham is a ton of fun, man. He is a ton of fun. 6'2", 170 pounds. Twitchy change in pace, man. He's really deceptive. He's got an adaptive and reactive handle. One of my favorite things about Dillingham, watching his tape, is that he's always reading the defense, man. He is looking for that counter. He is looking for that move to get you. And he's a ton of fun to watch, man. Good touch with both of his hands. His bag is crazy deep. He's a good playmaker. He's a creative passer. But I want to be clear about something. Like, this guy is wired to get buckets. I think Dillingham is a wired bucket. That is his role. This year, he's been averaging 15 points, 3 boards, and 4 assists on 48, 45, 79, 60 splits. That's 60% true shooting. And he's really young. He was born in 2005 in January. He's just 19 years old right now. He's one of the youngest prospects in the draft. My one concern with Dillingham, and it is about a lot of these slider frame guards, is that he doesn't create a ton of downhill pressure. And so it's hard for me to ever see him as being this high volume, and that's a criticism you can make about Shepherd too. I just trust Shepherd's touch and pull-up game a little more. It's just going to be tougher for Dillingham to get all the way to the basket, so he's going to be settling for a lot of shots like that. And when he gets downhill, when he can get that runway with a pick-and-roll or something like that, or if he can get into the lane, he can finish. He's really crafty around the rim. But again, I think it's always going to be a little bit of a struggle for him to always get there. He flares his legs a little bit on his jump shot. I talked about how consistent Reed is with that up and down smooth motion. Dillingham flares his legs inside a little bit on his jumper. And it goes in. Like, he's wet. He's 45% from behind the arc. He's a really good shooter, and he's got great touch. But that is one concern for me. He can kind of get caught up. It'll get some defenders on and one sometimes when he flares his legs like that, but it's not one of my favorite things about him. And then really similar to what you said about Shepherd, man, Dillingham is such a slight-framed guy that he's always going to be attacked on defense. And he's high effort, he's high energy, he's got good hands, but he's a slighter-framed guy where I think that, you know, if there's a mismatch, if there's a screen, if he gets a switch, he's a guy that you're going after as an NBA player, just because he's always going to be one of the smallest guys on the court. The thing with Dillingham is that he's very young, so if there's a lot more room to grow, if he improves a lot, I think he could be a starter. I think he could be a special player. But he's got to be such an effective three-point shooter. He's got to be such an effective scorer to get on the court. I don't know, man. I see a wide range of outcomes, and it's between a role player and a low-end starter for me with Dillingham. I don't really see an all-star upside, a crazy, unless he improves a lot. That's the one thing that makes Dillingham tough to grade, is he's so skilled at such a young age. Again, he's just 19. So I don't know. Like, I think it's going to really take over the next 3 to 4 years. He's a really skilled, fun guard. The next 4 years to me are really going to determine what Dillingham is. Like, it's hard to gauge. I don't know. It's rare that you see a guy this skilled and this young and this good with his change in pace and this filthy of a handle. But I don't know how that's going to translate when he's going up against the best athletes and the best defenders and the best players on planet Earth. So I think he's a guy that's going to need time off the bench for a few years. I think he's a guy that's going to need time in the G League to develop a little bit, or to get, you know, to really carve out his game. There is a world where I see him as a starter, as a consistent guy who's going out and getting buckets for a team. But there's also a world where I see him as a sixth man or an 8th or 9th guy off the bench. My player comp for him was somewhere on the Bones Highland to Tyrese Maxey scale, and right now I'd say he's probably closer to the Bones Highland side of the spectrum. But that's not disrespectful at all. Again, the thing I want to emphasize with Dillingham is he is born in 2005, he is 19 years old, and he's very, very young. There's a wide range of outcomes for this young man's career, and I think it's just going to take him these first couple of years figuring out what his role is and how effective he is going to be as a lead guard. You know, is he a sixth man or is he a lead point guard for your offense? I don't know. He's really fun. He's really skilled. He's really special. Right now, I'm definitely closer to sixth man slash role player is my projection for Dillingham.
I think you are kind of going to be operating in a reality with Dillingham where it's like he's a sixth man or he's a star shot creator. He's just one of those guys who has a skill set where it's a little bit boom or bust because you mentioned the defensive limitations. I also want to be clear. I don't think that Reed Sheppard is going to get attacked defensively because he's a dog there. He does a lot really, really well. It's just the league is dictated defensively by big athletic wings on the perimeter. And so even if you're a defensive specialist as a smaller guard, you can be very good there, but you probably aren't going to reach like the highest levels of defensive impact.
It's like Kayson Wallace or Davion Mitchell. Those two guys were two of the most advanced smaller defensive guards out of the draft in recent memory. And it's like those guys are good defenders, but they're not going to be all NBA guys.
Right. Now Dillingham is very different. Dillingham is super slight, much slighter than Sheppard. He's even smaller. He also does not have a positive wingspan. I mean, he's 6'1 with a 6'2 wingspan, and he's not a very high IQ defender. So I really worry about his value on that side of the ball. But offensively, he is a dynamic scorer. You mentioned he's twitchy, he's jittery, he's relatively quick, just a pretty dynamic ball handler. I like his change in pace. He's got good floater touch. He's a very good pull-up shooter and an exceptional catch-and-shooter, and it's like Reed Sheppard may be the generational shooter in terms of the efficiency this year, but what Dillingham is doing, 45% from deep, he's a 98th percentile guy off the catch, an 82nd percentile off the dribble, so like this dude is still a hell of a shooter, and he has more dynamic shot creation in terms of step backs, what he can do creating space off the bounce. My concern with him offensively, though, when you're talking about that star projection, is his limitations getting to and finishing around the rim. He shoots just 53% there, and he has good body control. He has good touch, but he's small, and he's not a very good vertical athlete. I mean, he's fine, but it's not the sort of difference-making athleticism around the rim. So that puts a limit on his ceiling as a scorer. When you're super reliant on pull-up shooting, it's tough to reach those like consistent star echelons. And then I do like his passing. I think that he definitely has some flashy high highs there. He's a pretty inventive and deceptive live dribble pick and roll passer, throwing lobs, throwing bounce passes. And I think he has good feel and is generally pretty willing there. I wouldn't say that he's stamped as like this guy is going to be a lead playmaker for you, but I do certainly think that there's potential for him to develop into that. So I do see a star ceiling for Dillingham because of how dynamic he is as a pull-up shooter and because of the playmaking ceiling. But I also have a lot more concerns because of the lack of rim pressure and because of how specifically dependent he is on that star offensive value. Because we know that guards who are super skilled offensively are extremely valuable and they can be the driving factors in title runs, but there's a threshold at which they're kind of a dime a dozen. It's what we were talking about with the Jalen Greens and Cam Thomases, right? There are dudes who can get you a bucket, but if they're going to do it inefficiently, if they aren't consistently playmaking and defending at a high enough level, then that guy is super replaceable. And that's where I think Dillingham needs to prove his overall value, and just a lot of prospects do these days.
You would say that you think Dillingham, I think Dillingham's a much better playmaker and has a higher IQ than those guys. You would agree, right?
I definitely would say that, yeah.
That's the one distinction I'd make, is I think Dillingham's there, but it's like you said, it's how effective is he as a lead scorer, as a lead pull-up jump shooter. And a lot of his tape, this is not my apples-to-apples comparison, but watching a lot of his tape, I went, and this is kind of a part with his size, too. I was like, man, he kind of looks like Isaiah Thomas out there. Like, at the high end, it's like, and I'm talking about, like, tiny Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
Like, that's the high end. And again, there's a wide range of outcomes. You know, Dillingham could be a superstar, a special bucket getter, but you know, again, I also think a six-man role might is probably closer to where he ends up. But it's hard, man, with these guys who are this young, man. It's hard to project. He's one of the most skilled 19-year-olds I've ever seen, man.
Yeah, I think he's the most impressive on-ball shot creator and shot maker that we're talking about today. So I still really like him. He's one of my favorite guys. I gave him a 7.1 grade.
Wow.
What did you give him?
I gave him a 6.2, which, again, our scales are a little different.
It's so funny that we have different scales.
Yeah.
And neither of them go to 10.
Well, you know what? We're going to coordinate. When we get closer to the draft, we'll have a uniform scale.
I like my scale. I like my scale because I'm not going to be giving anybody a 2.2. The Logan Camden scale, you can give somebody a 2.
Dude, if you got to go overseas, man, you got to go overseas. So I have Dillingham. My projection is above a starter's ability. Again, I don't know if that will be his ideal role, but right above a starter level. So I like Shepard's. I like Shepard's ceiling and floor, honestly, a little bit more than Dillingham's.
Definitely the floor. I don't know if I necessarily agree on the ceiling. That's what really does intrigue me with Dillingham. But the floor for Shepard is much higher. And again, in this draft, where there's not a lot of guys, so I'm like, yeah, he's probably going to be a star. I don't mind a very high floor.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. And North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code NERDS. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code NERDS. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let's talk about the other powerhouse that has a couple guys who very well could be drafted in this lottery range and is the definitely favorite to win it all this year. They won it last year, and now they come back with a refreshed and kind of different team, and they are the favorite to win it again. Let's start with Stephon Castle out of UConn, Logan, freshman guard. How do you feel about him?
I like Castle. I have the exact same grade as Rob Dillingham, but for very different reasons. I like Castle's floor a lot more, and I think he could be an impact role player from day one. My player comparison for Castle, and again, this isn't apples to apples, but I said playmaking Josh Hart. Castle is really unselfish.
Boy, I don't know if I love your player comparisons, but go ahead.
I mean, size, rebounding-wise, he's really unselfish. The ball does not stick to this kid's hands. He's really patient as an offensive player. He's always scanning out and searching out the next pass. Like, he's unselfish to a fault. He's looking to move the rock. He's a surprisingly great rebounder. Like, it's really interesting with these wings and guards are just smaller guys that aren't always on the low block. He's a guy that isn't always looking to sprint out in transition. He's hunting boards, and he's really good at crashing the glass. He's also 6'6", 215 pounds with a 6'9" wingspan. Like, he's just got a good NBA frame. High energy, high effort, prideful defender. Like, this guy has one hell of a motor. And like I said, great size and length for a guard. His arms are going to be disruptive defensively. And again, from day one, I think this is a guy who can play a connecting role as a player. Just he is a connecting piece offensively, defensively. Now, I think his scoring bag, and this is where I kind of draw the line with the guy, is scoring. Offense as a whole is a question mark for me with Castle. His scoring bag is just limited by his lack of great touch, and I think his shot just has to get better to warrant playing him. Again, he can do all the other things, all the little things. If his shot isn't falling, are you willing to play him if teams are going to drop off him or if he's going to shoot 30% from behind the arc? You just can't play the guy. So I think that's really going to determine how much playing time he gets, how effective as a role player he is, and ultimately where his ceiling goes. Again, this guy's 19 years old too. He's not super explosive or twitchy as an athlete. And one of the things I noticed defensively with Castle is he has to get better at controlling his closeouts. Like, he's a good defender. I think he's got the tools, the energy, the effort, the motor. Closing out, I think he can be a little too aggressive sometimes and give guys free runways to the hoop. He can get away with it a little bit here with UConn because he's got Klingon on the backside. And presumably if he's paired up with a good rim protector, he can get away with that. But that's one area where I think he needs to improve. So, listen, I think this guy does everything well except putting the ball in the basket. And so I think he's got real upside if his shot translates. And I think he's good finishing at the rim, too. He's got good body control, can finish through contact a little bit. But the one thing is, you know, he's not an explosive athlete, so I don't really see him. Is he going to get to the hoop all that much at the next level? That's why I say playmaking Josh Hart is. I think he's got a better Josh Hart does all the little things. He's a much better shooter and scorer than this kid, but Hart does all the little things. And I think this guy is a guy who can kind of do all the little things. I'm worried about Castle's offensive game, though, and I think that could be a real limiter on this guy getting major, major playing time at the next level. But he does everything else at a high level. Do you think, I don't know, man, is Bruce Brown a better comp? I'm trying to think about guys that do everything but really score the ball.
So I think that you are maybe underselling his chops as like an on-ball creator, because Josh Hart, first of all, there's not a lot of dudes in the NBA who Josh Hart is a much better scorer and shooter than. Like, Josh Hart loves his tour date shooting nights, man. If you let him shoot enough, he's probably going to shoot 30%. He's going to brick a lot of open threes. Like, he is the guy who does everything but score. I think my comparison for Castle in terms of recent draft prospects is more like an Anthony Black from last year. And I think that Black is a better prospect because last year was a better class. But I think they are in very similar archetypes where it's like, maybe they're not the most proven scorers because of issues in terms of the pull-up shooting and jump shooting overall, but they're these big ball handlers, 6'6", 6'7". They're plus athletes. I think that Black is a little bit quicker, but I still think Castle is a good athlete, and they play with very mature pace out of pick and roll. Like, they're super impressive playmakers for that age, and then they are plus defenders as well. I think that, again, Black was probably a little bit more disruptive there, but I like Castle's defensive value. And solid off-ball players, like just generally good feel for the game at this very big size for a guard. So I like Castle a lot. He's actually my second favorite guy who we're talking about today, because I think that there is a much higher ceiling for on-ball creation from him than you've laid out. I think that, again, at 6'6", 6'7", he is a creative, dynamic passer. He's not quite as good as Anthony Black was, but he's good. He whips no looks to bigs. He can make those skip passes. He's a really good ball handler. And because he is a plus athlete, he's just tough to stay in front of. And then he does play with that sort of calm pace as well. He's never really sped up. And he doesn't have great touch as a finisher, but he gets to the rim a good bit. And like Anthony Black, again, he gets to the line a lot. He has a free throw rate of 0.39, which is very valuable when you can pressure the rim and you can create sort of that scoring floor with those free throw attempts as well. And he's got solid touch from floater range. The concern is absolutely his jump shot. He has really struggled both off the dribble, 21st percentile efficiency there, and off the catch, where he has 26th percentile efficiency. And his jumper isn't broken, but I do think he is a guy who is dependent on rhythm. A rhythm dribble helps him. And there's some mechanical inconsistencies. He has a pretty deep dip off his catch, and so that's not necessarily great for time and getting those shots up quickly in those NBA settings. And sometimes he has these really bad misses. The top of his release can seem a bit labored, and he kind of lurches. It looks like he's forcing the shot a bit too much from his upper body. So I do want to see his jump shot reworked mechanically, but there are also times where he is in rhythm off the catch. And I mean, he squares up nicely. Like, it's not a broken jump shot. It's not something where I would abandon hope. Again, Anthony Black, I guess I'll just keep doing the comparison, is a guy who had a noticeable hitch and has improved as a jump shooter already in his rookie season. Logan, you hate the Anthony Black comparison?
I just think Anthony Black was a better prospect.
Well, Anthony Black is a better prospect, but I think that they're similar. You don't think they're similar archetypes? How are they not similar archetypes?
I just think Anthony Black's way better.
Okay. All right.
Do you think that again, it's always really hard with these young guys. Do you think Castle could be a lead ball handler in the NBA? I don't really see that for him.
I think he's one of the rare guys in this class who does have that potential. When you have this size and this playmaking and this athleticism, I'm not going to necessarily bet on the jump shot working out, but even if it doesn't, like Anthony Blackout wasn't super confident, that's still a guy you trust to run possessions. You can think about another Magic guard, Markelle Fultz, who it's like obviously doesn't have a star ceiling when he cannot knock down a pull-up jumper. Well, he has the mid-range game, but a three-pointer. But still, at that size, with that pace, with that playmaking, is a guy who you can entrust a decent portion of your offensive responsibilities with. And then I think Castle has really good feel as a cutter, which I like, even if you're not going to be a super knockdown catch and shooter. It's nice to have some off-ball value. You mentioned he is quite a good offensive rebounding guard, 2.7 offensive boards per 75 possessions. Just as a reference point, that's more than Russell Westbrook has ever averaged in a season in the NBA. So like, that's a really good offensive rebounding guard. And then defensively, 6'7 with a 6'8 wingspan, moves well laterally.
He's a good defender. He's a really good defender.
Because he has that size, he recovers effectively. He's another guy who can affect players with those rear view contests. Plays with good effort. Not somebody who I see an all defense sort of ceiling for. I don't think that he's like the most impactful off ball defender, but I think he should be a plus defender. So his role to me, if he figures out the jumper, he could be a star lead ball handler. If not, I still think he's a good secondary ball handler who has some feel off ball and is going to be a plus defender. And if he can just be a capable catch and shooter, then I think that's a really good basketball player. So I gave him a 7.2. He is my second favorite guy who we're talking about today, because I just think it's rare to find star traits in these guys. And that's the thing. He like doesn't have that one thing where it's just like, boy, he is great at that, right? He's not an A plus athlete. He's not an A plus playmaker. He's obviously not an A plus shooter, but he's really good at a lot. And I do think he has a higher athletic ceiling than a lot of these other guys who we're looking at today.
That's why I have him, I think, at his apex. And if his jump shot works out, I mean, the sky's the limit for the kid. But I have him as a fringe starter, but I think he's an immediate role player from day one. I think you can plug the guy into the rotation, and he's going to give you good minutes. My one concern, you talk about the jumper, it is the fact that a lot in college, when he's wide open off spot up attempts, he will dribble into the lane. And it's like, at the next level, when you got those open looks, you got to take them and you got to hit them. So the jumper's really my major concern, but I think he's got a very, very high floor. And I think he's going to be an immediate impact guy from day one and could be a fringe starter. So I can see it. You know, it's not like I don't see it with Castle. The jump shot just is a very major concern, and just scoring overall.
All right, let's talk about his UConn buddy, Donovan Clingan, who was on the championship team last year, sophomore center, but has taken on a bigger role this year. How do you feel about Clingan?
I like Clingan a lot, man. 7'2", 280 pounds with a 7'7" wingspan. I've heard somewhere between 260 to 280 between places. Regardless, he's a really big dude. Clingan is going to be effective, disruptive, and imposing immediately just because of his size. I mean, this is a guy that is going to warrant playing time immediately just because of his size. And one of the underrated things about him, I think running actions for this guy at the top of the key, you see with a lot of modern bigs. I think that you can run handoffs with him at the top of the key. I think you can run stuff with cutters to the basket and have him make decisions. Like, you know, he's not a Jokic playmaker or something like that, but all modern bigs nowadays, to open up the floor and to open up the middle in the paint, they're running a lot more stuff. And UConn does that stuff too, where they entrust him to hit cutters and stuff like that. What I'm saying is he's not a complete dud. You know what I mean? He's not like a guy who doesn't know how to pass the ball or is just clueless. Like, mm-hmm. I trust him to make decent decisions with the ball in his hands, yeah, and to play make a little bit. And I think he's got underrated touch. Watching his film reminded me of when I would play Carson in basketball one-on-one. When one guy has such a physically just overwhelming size advantage over you and length advantage, that it's like, he doesn't have to have elite touch, but he's just can just go over the top. Like, I think he's got underrated touch. I can see him developing a little bit of a go to him on the low block and let him put up a hook shot. Again, like, he's got freakish size where if he's, yeah, matched up against a Onyeka Okongwu or a Trayce Jackson Davis, for example, these are just undersized bigs that I point to that are athletic. Put a 7'2 guy on a 6'9 guy, and he's just going to be able to put up that baby hook or go to the hoop. He's got good touch, and I can see him developing. He's a 55% free throw shooter. I can see him developing touch, and I can see him developing as a shooter. I wouldn't bank on it, but he's not a complete dud there either. He's, yeah, got a little skill to his game. The one area where I worry about Clingan, and I think this is obvious, is just his limitations defending in space and mobility-wise. He is a bit lumbering. He is a bit clunky. Sometimes it looks like he's got cinder blocks on his feet. So I do worry about that a little bit. And I worry about him against really dynamic guards who are shifty. I think that he's a guy who could kind of get eaten on a little bit in space. You know, they isolate him on the baseline or on the wing, and I think he could get cooked. And another thing that I'm concerned about, I think Klingon could be a bit of a low-light machine at the next level. I think he's going to be really effective. I think he's going to be really effective as a rim protector, as a rebounder. I think he's a starter. I think he's a starter from day one that you can put out there, a Walker Kessler type, a Derek Lively type. And I don't mean in how they play, because Lively's a freak athlete, but
the value.
Effectiveness immediately. I think he could be a bit of a low-light reel, though, in terms of against really shifty ball handlers getting shook. And then two, he's not a guy that really gets a ton of bounce off the ground. I think against these really high-level athletes like Jalen Johnson or Amen Thompson or Anthony Edwards, these poster machines, I think Klingon could kind of be a poster boy for getting yammed on because he doesn't get off the ground a ton. But he's going to be really effective, and I think he is a starter, a capable starter from day one. My grade is a 6.7.
Ooh, you like
so
him.
I think he's a high-level starter, really effective, and right below all-star level, where I don't think his numbers or I don't think his numbers are going to warrant an appearance, but I think his effectiveness might in that way. I think he's a day one, a guy who, if you need a center, if you need a big body tank Hulk guy, I think Klingon could be your day one starter. He's got that level of size and effectiveness.
That's interesting. I don't know if I see a sub-all-star kind of ceiling for Klingon like you do, but I definitely like him more than the consensus. And my view is kind of, if you could get a guy, you talk about Kessler and Derek Lively, I view him in terms of play style a bit more similar to like an Ivica Zubats. Zubats is a pretty exceptional touch shot maker. I do like Klingon's touch, but like, okay, a guy who can bully those mismatches. Klingon was a 97th percentile post-up scorer this year. Dude. I mean, just massive human beings who eat up rebounds, are super efficient play finishers, capable decision makers, maybe not the best defenders in space, but really impactful drop defenders, pure rim protectors. Mm-hmm. Would you take that guy 10th in this draft? And maybe. I probably would. Like, I really like Klingon from that perspective. I mean, the physical traits you just mentioned, 7'2", whatever he is, 270 with a 7'7 wingspan, that's rare. And his production per possession for this team that is the national title frontrunner is monstrous, dude. Per 75 possessions, he averages 26 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, and 5 blocks on 63% true shooting. He is an exceptionally massive target around the rim. You mentioned that he's not a great vertical athlete, but he's just so huge and he's so long that it doesn't really matter all that much. He also eats up fouls around the rim. If people are out of position, they just hack him, which I do think part of that is that he's not really holding them accountable from the line, just making 57%. But I do think that also speaks to his massive physical advantages. And he does have pretty good body control and touch. He's an efficient roller. He's an efficient post scorer. I think we've seen when defenses converge on him on post-ups, off the short roll, from the top of the key, like he can make sound decisions. He can run handoffs and then slip to the rim. And it's just nice to have a big man who's capable in those categories. We've seen that already with Derek Lively, his rookie year. Like, just having a guy who doesn't have to be a standout passer, but who's decent there, it's valuable to modern NBA offenses. And then defensively, I mean, he's just such a high floor prospect. He's a 99th percentile post-up defender, Logan. Opposing players have posted him up 36 times this year. They have averaged 0.25 points per possession. I believe they are 3 of 26 shooting when they go at Klingon out of the post. And then he's a problem as a drop defender. Again, 5 blocks per 75. And he's very, very sound positionally. He's a monster rebounder. He just eats up box outs, again, has the great size. And I agree with you in terms of his mobility in space. Like, he doesn't move too fluidly. But I do think that because of his range, like, he's not a guy who necessarily has to be up on these perimeter players. And he's so damn big and long that he can still affect them from maybe a step further back than your average defensive big could. So I don't like him guarding in space, but I think that he can overcome some of his just sheer mobility limitations because of his size. And as a pure interior defender, as a defensive rebounder, he is just awesome. So I view his role as being like classic rim finishing, rim protecting big that every NBA team is looking for. Maybe it's not like the most rare skill set, but he does have those things that can take you up a level from being straight up replacement to this guy's like a real quality starter because of the monstrous size, because of the good touch, because of the IQ on both sides of the ball. So I think he's a very high floor prospect. I gave him a 7.0 grade flat.
Yeah, I like Klingon a lot, dude. And I think he's a game changer. Like, you think about how Derek Lively transformed Dallas coming in. And I think, you know, coupled with Gafford. But it's like, some teams don't have that guy. Like, think about, for example, if Golden State had a guy like that where they could run drop or something. Like, they've got Looney, who's an undersized, unathletic big. They've got Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's a freak athlete, but he's undersized. Like, there are just teams that don't have that guy that when you're matched up against a Yusuf Nurkic, a Zubats, a Hartenstein, these other really big bodies, they just have advantages that you need to counter. And so I think he's an immediate impact rookie, and I would have no problem taking him top 10 lottery. I think he's that effective from day one. And like I said, man, with his shooting touch, or his touch on the block, because it's like I said, man, it's like playing you, dude. He just sticks that elbow into the other guy and goes over the top, and it's too easy. So I like Klingon a lot, man, and I would have no issue taking him very high in this draft. I think he's got such an exceptionally high floor.
A lot of people don't know about my sky hook, Logan. A lot of people don't know about my floater game.
Oh, I also think you said that Klingon held opposing post-up players 0.25 points per possession.
Yeah,
I think it's what I was at against you.
Well, you know, I don't know why you would post me up, Logan. It's probably not the best approach, but hey, you try new things. Now, Logan does enjoy going to the post. All right, enough about our terrible, terrible basketball that we play. Let's talk about the guys who are good, like Cody Williams, whose brother is Jalen Williams, of course, out of Gilbert, Arizona, freshman wing at Colorado, a guy who's getting some real top five buzz in this draft. He is going to be playing in the first four games today. How do you feel about him, Logan?
Cody Williams is by far my favorite prospect that we're talking about today. And right now, I need to go through the rest of the draft. I need to get deep in the bag here, but Cody is probably my favorite collegiate prospect in this year's draft, and he's probably my favorite American. I have an all-star grade on him. I see that ceiling for this kid. I've got him at 7.2 right now. He's a really super long, agile, and fluid athlete, and I think he's a really good pure shooter and movement shooter. I talk about Shepard, that straight up and down, easy, consistent jump shot. All of Cody's jumpers, up and down, great body control. And it's not J-Dub, it's not his brother's level of slamming on the brakes, but in the lane, I do like his ability to slam, stop on a dime, and pull up. He's got great touch. He's really methodical, crafty. He plays at his own pace. He doesn't shy away from contact on drives. Like, he is embracing contact when he goes to the hole. He's a great relocator off ball, and he's a great cutter. Like, I think immediately you can fit him in basically anywhere. I think he's going to be an impactful role player, and he's great spotting up. This season, he's averaging 13 points, 3 boards, and 2 assists on 57, 42, 72 splits. 57% from the field is ridiculous, and I think you can attribute that to one thing. Like, he doesn't take bad shots or make bad decisions. Like, I really like his decision-making. I really like his shot selection. He's just efficient on the floor. Now, there are areas where I think Cody needs to get better. There are areas, evidently, where Cody needs to get better, but they're very marginal things that I think he needs to improve on. One, specifically, he's got to improve his hands, and he's got to improve his handle. There are a lot of plays on tape where he's either driving and just loses the ball, or he catches a pass and somebody knocks it out of his hands. He can get really loose with the ball, and that's a concern for me, but I think it's something that he can work on. Another thing that I noticed on tape is that Cody's really comfortable driving to the right side with his right hand. He never crosses back left. I watched a ton of possessions where if he's driving right elbow or right baseline, he's either kicking it back out or he's going all the way to the hoop. He never crossed back across his body to his left hand. So in general, I just think he needs to work on his handle, his left hand, and his hands. But again, I think he can work on those things. There's a lot of other things that I like about his game. I think he needs to work on locating the ball on rebounds and crashing hard. He can kind of just, he'll either get out in transition or he'll put his head down. He doesn't crash the glass hard. I think he needs to get better there. Defensive discipline and reaction time, closing out too hard or reacting too hard or leaving his feet, I think he needs to get better on. Again, these are marginal things. Screen navigation, strength and filling out his frame. He's 6'8", 180 pounds. I think that you see it in college. Bigger wings, bigger guards, they can take him to the hole and kind of big body him on defensive attempts. He's really long, but he can get big bodied a little bit. But he's just, he's such a high floor guy, and I think he's really high ceiling, where if he can fix his handle and his hands, I see a really high ceiling for him offensively. And a lot of it is the fact that he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands. But he's a mismatch, man. In the paint, he's really long and has great touch. Like, I see a lot of his brother in him. His brother's better. His brother's on a different planet, but I see a lot of his brother in him. And he's young, man. I expect him to get a lot better in all of these areas, where a year out after his rookie season, I can see him taking a legitimate leap going into his second year. But it comes down to one big thing, and that's the fact that I love his decision-making and I love his shot selection. He just does not make really bad decisions, and he doesn't take bad shots. He's taking open threes, and he's taking shots in the lane or at the rim. You know, he's not really forcing anything. And Colorado runs a lot of actions, if it's DHOs, if it's off screens, that he just makes work. So if he can clean up a lot of these little things, that's why I say immediately, I think this guy is a rotational role player that makes good things happen on both sides of the ball. But I see a much higher ceiling where he could be a an all-star kind of player. Cody Williams is one of my favorite prospects in this draft, man. And I am absolutely enamored with his game, dude. He does so many good things. And like, he's not explosive, but he's crafty, man. He's methodical. Cody is one of my favorite prospects in this draft, and I cannot wait to see him at the next level. I am, fingers crossed, if you were watching this after the Colorado game, I'm hoping he gets into the tournament and we can see a little bit of a run from Colorado in March Madness.
It would be fun. Also, shout out to the Pack dying. It would be nice to see some representation. I like Cody. I don't think I like him quite as much as you, and I think that maybe we differ on the star ceiling, because where I kind of struggle with Cody is in identifying that one really high level trait. I do think he does a lot pretty well. I think that he is like a jack of all trades kind of wing. I do like his change in gears. I like his pace out of pick and roll for a 6'8 dude. He doesn't necessarily have that pure quickness. I mean, he doesn't have the change in gears that his brother does, but it's pretty good. I think maybe there are just some areas where you say he's great, and I would more say he's solid. For example, his overall touch. And that's an issue that I do have with him as a driver, is he'll force these runners. He doesn't shoot well on them. He's 10 of 33 on those runners this year. And I do think there are instances where, you mentioned the handle, like, he's a good ball handler for his size, but he will have these weird turnovers, weird possessions where he loses his balance.
There's a lot of possessions like that.
Messes up his footwork. He's just kind of got that baby deer thing sometimes. When he remains under control, he is an effective driver. And he's got a 7'2 wingspan. I mean, around the rim, his touch.
Sorry, dude, the one thing that stands out about that is when he's driving, like, he can just reach over like these defenders and get such easy layups.
Totally. It's ridiculous. Those Williams boys, man, they have absurd length, and they have really good basketball feel. They're both just, like, smart basketball players. So I do like his prospects, and I do like his floor. I think he's a guy who would make a lot of teams better. He does have solid feel and, obviously, good size as a playmaker. And even though he's not in a role where he's doing a lot of, like, primary ball handler stuff, you definitely see flashes of nice touch and anticipation. I like his lay down passes, his interior passing specifically. I do have, like, some concerns about him as an on-ball creator in any sort of high-volume role. He struggled with efficiency there this year, 21st percentile pick-and-roll creator. That's including passes, actually. And I think that there, the lack of, like, a reliable pull-up jumper is definitely worth noting. And again, if you are settling for those tough runners. But a lot of the other off-ball stuff that he does offensively, really good in transition, just a really good athlete in the open floor. Great feel as a cutter, very smart. And he's been a solid catch and shooter. He's not a threat as a pull-up shooter, but over a small sample size, he has knocked down his catch and shoot jumpers pretty effectively. And then defensively, He is a really good lateral mover. His length is insane, and he gives consistent good effort. He is still quite slight, but Jalen has added size, so I think that just in terms of the genetics, like, that's a positive, the ability to add to the frame. So I like him. I think that, again, he is doing a lot of things at a B level. Off ball, feel, being a solid on-ball creator, being a plus defender, but maybe not like an elite defender. So I gave him a 7.1. He's a guy I would want on my basketball team, but I don't know that he's a guy I would spend a top five pick on. Maybe this year I'll have to get deeper into the international guys, but I don't love the really high-end upside.
I don't know. I do. Again, this guy's really young still. I see it. Again, he's got things he definitely needs to clean up. I think the biggest thing is his handle, his hands. Like, there's just a lot of turnovers on tape, but he gets a lot of easy shots. He makes good decisions, and I can see it, man. I can see a world in which Cody's also a star. I see that kind of ceiling with him. I'm going to have to look at the other prospects internationally, but right now I'm pretty confident I would take Cody with a top five pick.
All right, let's talk about a guy who you texted me and said I do not like, and that's Jacoby Walter, the freshman guard out of Baylor. Why are you out on Jacoby, Logan?
Man, Jacoby is like a see the ball, shoot the ball kind of guy, man.
Real?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really my issue, is just that, like, guys like that, it's the G.G. Jackson effect, except G.G. was, like, super skilled to the point where I was like, I would take a lottery pick on this guy.
G.G.
I did, and I still do love G.G. Jacoby, like, is just, I don't know, man. I'm going to shoot the ball, man. Like, he's just a guy who's going to put the rock up. He's got 8 20-point games this season, and so there's three things that I like about Jacoby. When he is hot, he's hot. He's got 8 20-point games this season. He draws a lot of free throws. He's drawing over 5 free throw attempts per game. He's got solid defensive tools. He's a good rebounder. And so, like, I see a kind of 3-and-D archetype, but I just wonder if he can play winning basketball in the sense that, is he going to move the ball within the flow of the offense? Is he going to be a ball stopper? Is he just going to huck it when he gets the rock? I don't know. But every time he touched the ball in college, it seemed like he was shooting the ball. And I'll give Jacoby credit for something else, too. In a lot of these big games against big teams where he's getting buckets, they're on big stages. In his games where he's got to shut the door, it is in the fourth quarter, his team needs him to close out the game. And the other thing that I like about Jacoby is, while I say that he's going to shoot the ball, trust me, Carson, he's got that Deion Waiters stuff, man, where if he goes 0 for 9, he's going to keep pulling, man. He does not lose confidence. Like, he will have a half where he'll shoot 0 for 7. He's going to come out next half and he'll go 5 of 7, 5 of 8. He'll keep shooting. So he doesn't lose his confidence, but my question is just, can he play winning basketball? I know what I'm getting. I like his defensive tools. I like his rebounding. So defensively, I think he can work. But it's just offensively, is he going to be a ball stopper? Is he going to get to the rim? Is he going to move off ball? I have a ton of questions offensively. And it's not really about the skill. It's all about the decision-making and the IQ. And so right now, Jacoby, I think, is my second least favorite prospect that we're talking about today. I gave him a 5.7 grade. That for me is, at his best, a role player in a good lineup. And that's at his apex to me. I don't know. I think Jacoby's a guy who needs work in the G League. I think he needs work as a bench player. I don't know. Jacoby's very, very skilled, but to me, he's got a long way to go in terms of playing winning basketball. And for that, I think he may need a year or two in the G League before he's cracking a rotation. So at his apex, I think he's a role player, right below a starter level kind of guy.
I think that I am maybe just a little bit higher on the 3-and-D floor with Jacoby than you are. I do have issues with him as an on-ball creator. Now, I think that he definitely has some wiggle and he's a good ball handler, but he doesn't have like a super advanced shot creation skill set off the bounce. He's actually struggled as a pull-up shooter this year, just been in the 24th percentile there, despite the fact that he is obviously a very skilled shooter. And when you look at what he does off the catch and off movement, like, he should be better than that. His three-point percentage overall should be higher than what it is, and it's dragged down by his pull-up issues. And he really struggles to get to the rim. He is 15th percentile in terms of his rim rate, And his finishing there is just 14th percentile in terms of efficiency. He shoots 46% at the rim, which is really, really quite bad. So if you're talking about that role, he's also only been a 27th percentile pick and roll creator. I just don't love him running tons of offense, but I think he's a really good pure shooter. I do think he has solid floater touch. And you're right, he's definitely in a very score-first role and mindset right now. But I do think we've seen flashes of him as a decent passer at the very least. And then defensively, I think he rebounds well for a guard. I think he moves well laterally. He's got a 6'10 wingspan. He's not too slight. Like, he's not just an absolute stick. And then he's got a good defensive playmaking knack. So I guess I'm just not as concerned about him going into an NBA game and being like, okay, I'm going to take 18 shots and 10 of them you're going to scratch your head at. I'm just a bit more optimistic about him understanding, okay, well, my job here is to knock down shots off the catch and maybe every once in a while take a couple possessions for myself, but that's not really where I view him excelling in the league. So I gave him a 6.8 grade. He's not my favorite guy who we're talking about today, but I do think, I mean, he checks two valuable boxes in today's NBA, which is he can shoot at a really high level and he can defend at a pretty high level.
Yeah, and he's one hell of a rebounder. Like, if you put him at the two or the three, like, he's a legitimately great rebounder. Like, he crashes the hell out of the glass. So if he commits to that role, I think he's got all the talent in the world to be able to do it. I just wonder if he's, I don't know, mentally committed to that, or if he's, I'm putting a rock up. You know, if he commits to playing team basketball, I think he's got enough skill and ability and talent to do it. That's not really where I have my issues. It's more about decision-making, basketball IQ, and committing to playing winning basketball. But I think he's got the skill set to do it.
Yeah, I just feel like he has bought in. I mean, certainly the defensive side of the ball. And like,
and maybe they're just asking him to do too much here in, you know what I mean, in this situation.
Yeah, he definitely has his off nights as a shooter. I mean, you look at his last handful of games. He has a 1-of-8 game, a 3-of-11 game. Those are his two games in the conference tournament. 3-of-13 just a couple games before that against Kansas. Like, there's definitely a volatility there. But I think put him in a straightforward role at the next level, and he has some tools that you definitely like. But I do view him in this class as definitely a low-end lottery guy. And I think there are some who think he's like a solid top 10 kind of guy. Okay.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from
crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about one of just the stars of college basketball this year, a guy who, if it weren't for Zach Edey being 7'4 and 300 pounds and seemingly having been dominating for a decade at Purdue, like maybe could have won the Wooden Award, definitely one of the standout players in college basketball this year. That being Dalton Knecht, who's a little bit different than these other guys because he's 23 years old, the guard out of Tennessee, spent a couple years at JUCO, then a couple years at Northern Colorado, and then has exploded this year for a team that I know some like to win it all. How do you feel about Knecht, Logan?
I like Knecht a lot. I think he is an immediate rotation guy, and I think it's, you know, depending on what you need in the draft is should you go and get him. But I think he's immediate rotation, immediate winner, impact kind of guy. You mentioned it. Is he 23 or 22? I'm pretty sure he's 22. He'll be 23 at the time of the draft. But 21-5-2 this year on 47-40-76, 58 splits. He's 6'6", 197 pounds. Reportedly a 6'9 plus wingspan. That's not confirmed, but it does look pretty long on tape too. He's a special perimeter shooter, man. You think about the actions that this team runs for him. Double screens, pin downs, DHOs. He's really effective in all of them because he's such a great shooter. Like, teams just have to respect him there. And he's got a veteran poise to him, man. You can just tell. Like, that's the difference between these 19-year-olds and guys that you see that play at 23. That's why Trayce Jackson-Davis stood out last year and why we both thought he was like a first-round guy, right? Like, late first-round guy, immediate impact player. I feel the same way about Knecht, and that's why I think he is warranted potentially spending a lottery pick on him, because you can put him in the league tomorrow and he is going to help a team win games. Like, there's just polish that comes with these guys. And it is another thing. It's not just about the polish. It's about the role that he plays in that is going to make him so effective. Like, the NBA is so predicated on big, long wings that have skill, that can stretch the floor and that can do other things. And he just fits the bill, man. He really does. So it starts with all the off ball stuff that you can run for him. And for comparison, like I like him leagues more than I liked like a guy like Jet Howard last year, right? Like, I just think there's a different winning skill set. Jet went, I think, 11th or something, I think, to Orlando. And I like Knecht way more than I like Jet Howard last year. I think he's just more polished. Now, I think to maximize himself, and again, for a guy like Knecht, we're almost looking at a finished product here. I'm not saying that he can't get better. And the player comp that I'd give to him is Duncan Robinson, even down to back record, JUCO transferring, getting here, getting the league, down to the archetype and how they play. And we've seen Duncan Robinson even progress as a ball handler, as a playmaker this year. So I think he can get even better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he hasn't reached his apex, but this is kind of the player that Knecht is going to be. To get better, I think he has to finish more in the short mid-range and in the interior. He's got great touch, but he just doesn't finish that well. He can just kind of miss stuff in there. He doesn't create a ton of separation by himself. I don't think he's a guy that you're running, you know, isolations. He needs a screen. You need to get him a little bit of a runway. You need to create opportunities for him. He is prone to falling asleep a little bit defensively. Sometimes on the backside, he's got to recover really heavily because he's helping out a little too much, or he's sunk too low. But again, that's very marginal. And then as a point of attack defender, I don't like him in the pick and roll. A little slow-footed, can just get caught up in screens a little bit more than other guys, and I think there's just some miscommunication sometimes on if he should tag the roller and switch, or if he should fight more over the screen and get back to his guy. But these are really marginal things as a prospect. And so my player comp for Knecht is Duncan Robinson. I think my grade for him is a 6.4. I have him as, I think he's a mid-level starter at the next level. And I don't know if that's immediately, I think he's a role player, but he's a guy that I think could climb to being an average to above average starter at the next level. So if that's what it depends where your franchise is. If your franchise is contending right now immediately and you need a guy like that, go get him. I think he helps you win games now. If you want to shoot for the stars and get a guy who you think could be an all-star, maybe you go in a different direction. But to me, if Jet Howard was a lottery pick last year, I think Dalton Knecht is a lottery pick this year. And I would take him. He's an immediate winner to me.
Monroe is taking shots at Jet Howard. Jet Howard, who has had a pretty rough rookie year. But I like Connect. I think he's just a really fun guy to watch, and he's like the perfect college player because he's just got a knack for getting buckets, man. He's just got a knack for scoring. He's very, very versatile. He's a super active off-ball mover. I mean, they run him off screens so much, curling around those actions, cutting, relocating. Like, he just knows where to be, and he's pretty much comfortable rising up from anywhere, off movement from different angles, and that's very valuable. And then he can initiate himself, and he's been efficient doing so. Out of pick and roll, 82nd percentile score. He even has shown a little bit of an ability to score out of the post. Like, he's just one of those guys who has a nose for the bucket, and he can explode. I mean, just in his last five games, he's dropped 39 twice. And I also think he's not a dynamic athlete in terms of first step quickness, but he is well built. Like, he's relatively compact. He's a pretty solid athlete in terms of his vertical ability. He's got good body control. He's got good touch. So he's been a solid finisher, shooting 58% at the rim this year. And he has a knack for drawing fouls as well, a free throw rate of 0.37, which is quite high. And you pair that with this really dynamic outside shooting, and he's going to be a bucket getter at any level. And he is a capable playmaker. And I think that he fits anywhere offensively. It's so great when you have a guy who you can plug and play off ball. You think about Jordan Hawkins, what he was able to do this year as a rookie for New Orleans. It's like, if you are going to exert that sort of stress on a defense away from the ball, and you can knock down shots at that clip away from the ball, every team is going to want you offensively. The one thing that concerns me with Connect is his defense and the lack of that star upside offensively, because I just don't think he's a star. I don't think he has the on-ball ceiling there. I don't think he has the athletic ceiling there. And then I like his size and I like his length defensively, but I really don't like his lateral mobility. And I think that quick NBA guards are just going to give him trouble. And I think he's a guy who's going to be scrapping to be average defensively. So I think he'll have a place in rotations because of his offensive value. I'm not sure that he's a starter, though. I definitely can see it, but I'm just not sure, because it's tough to find those wings who aren't like real, real high-level offensive players and who can't defend.
Well, that's why I say he's a role player immediately with potential to grow into it. Or a starter in a pinch, so to speak. You know what I mean? You need a guy to fill in tonight or something like that. He's not going to be a complete... I think he's a winner, but I completely agree with the defensive questions. It's lateral mobility, and it's sometimes it's effort, man, like on the tape, like him really wanting to fight through a screen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, get there, man. Get into his face. And it's like, I don't always see it on the tape. So I understand with the limitations, but I think he cracks a rotation from day one, man.
I agree. I give him a 6.6. I mean, that's the other thing, though. He is a much more refined product. He's 23 years old. Basically, everybody else we're talking about is 19 or 20. So I like Connect, but I think that you are looking at a guy who has a lower ceiling than most of the other players who we're talking about today. Last guy, Logan, who we're going to touch on, and sorry if we're not talking about your favorite players or whoever you want to hear talked about in the draft. Again, we can really only go eight, otherwise we'd be talking for 3 hours here, as you guys can tell. But we will talk about other guys, obviously, more as we get deeper into the draft process. Jared McCain, out of Duke, Logan, the freshman guard. How do you feel about him?
McCain is my least favorite prospect that we're talking about today. It's tough, man. His efficiency is great. 13-5-2 on 46-40-87 splits, 60% true shooting. On nearly 6 3-pointers attempted per game. 6'3", 195 pounds. This year he's got 6 20-point games, 1 30-point game, and he's a smooth shooter. He's got a smooth stroke. You see it when he drives to the rim too, man. He's got good touch, like finishing when he does get to the rim. And I think he's a really good rebounder for a small guard, man. It's weird. Like, I was really impressed. Him and Jacoby, while I may have my issues with their game, man, they can get some boards. And for a 6'3 kid, he's really impressive with how he crashes the glass, but I have some major issues with him. One, the fact that he is not an explosive athlete. Like, I am really underwhelmed by him as an athlete in terms of exploding first step, getting to the rim, changing in pace, any kind of on-ball creation, creating separation. I have issues with him. And so that's issue one. Issue two is he cheats on defense a lot, man. A lot of plays on tape where I'm going, dude, stick on your man where he is sunk. You know, his man will be on the wing or in the corner, and he is sunk all the way down to the elbow or the low block. Somebody makes a cross-court pass, and McCain has to recover, easy three. And it's frustrating where I'm like, dude, just stick on your guy. Let the other side of the defense figure it out. He cheats a lot on defense, and that scares me. And then you couple that with the fact that he's always kind of going to be a liability defensively. He's not super laterally quick, doesn't have a great wingspan, not a super big guy. He's, like, size-wise, not bad, 6'3", 195. Like, he's strong, but not super quick. I wonder if he's going to be able to stay in front of really quick guards. And so I think he's another guy that needs time in the G League. He's only 19, and again, that's the caveat that I want to put with all these young prospects. And if you really like these guys, I'm sorry if I don't like your guy. And for a lot of these young guys, like I said, they're young. We don't know what they're going to develop into. Guys, that's something that's really remarkable about the game today. And Carson, you tell me how you feel, but like, there is such a surplus of basketball talent and skill. Some of these guys in the G League that are 18, 19, 20, they're going to figure it out and they're going to be studs. I believe it. You know what I mean? They are honing their craft right now and they are going to get better because that's what happens. They are not finished products. So he may develop a lot in the G League. But right now, he's a guy to me. I have him as a 5.4 grade. That's him, in my opinion, maxed out. A low-end role player, a backup point guard. I don't really see it as a starter. And again, he can have value as a floor spacer, you know, as a tertiary creator out of pick and roll off your bench. But that's high end for me. I don't ever really see a starter. Again, he's just too much of a liability defensively, and I don't see that star level offensively. I think at his apex, I see a role player, a backup point guard. And so my player comp for him would be Trey Burke or a Seth Curry, a guard like that. I don't hate McCain, but I definitely don't love the kid. But again, like I said with a lot of these guys, he's very, very young, so we don't know what he's going to end up looking like. But at his apex, I see a role player or a backup point guard.
I think McCain is probably the guy who the consensus on everyone who we're talking about today is lowest on. Most of the other guys, I think you would see most people have in the lottery range. McCain, it sort of depends. Some people like his teammate, Kyle Filipowski, more than him.
I love Filipowski.
Shout out to him. We'll talk about him another time. But I don't love McCain. I think that he's my least favorite guy we're talking about here today. And I agree, like, I do view him as sort of backup point guard type. I do think he's a really good shooter. Like, I don't want to lose sight of how good he is there, both off the bounce and off the catch. The guy is extremely, extremely effective. 84th percentile catch and shooter, 82nd percentile off the dribble. And he is an unselfish passer. He's not a next level guy there, but he generally makes the right reads. I think he's a decent point of attack defender, but he just has physical and athletic limitations that are generally difficult to overcome. When you're 6'3", you don't have a particularly good first step. You're a below the rim sort of athlete. And he doesn't have that next level craftiness, ball handling in terms of on ball creation. I think it's really going to be about his shooting and his decision making, and that can make you a perfectly serviceable NBA player. But I don't really see a ceiling that intrigues me all that much with him. So I gave him a 6.4 on my scale. All right. Nobody else to talk about today, Logan. There are other guys in the tournament who are intriguing. Shout out Tristan Da Silva from Colorado. Shout out Yves Missy from Baylor. All of those guys we'll talk about some other time. Any final thoughts to wrap up today, Logan?
I don't know. If this engages pretty well and people like it, maybe we'll do a little something post-tournament, a little post-tournament wrap-up or something like that afterwards. Prospect talk is some of my favorite stuff to do, man. So I'm juiced to... You ready for the games? Have you filled out a bracket yet, Carson?
No, I'm going to do that later today. I don't know. I haven't really had a good hard look at it yet. Have you?
I mean, I have watched so little bad. Oh, I picked the winner of UVA and Colorado State to go to the Sweet 16 in hopes that UVA would pull it out. But right, I guess I'm rocking with Colorado State. I do have my winner. I have my Final Four, but okay. I was just kind of clicking buttons. You feel me?
Yeah, no, that's real. That's real. That's real. I don't know. I'll do a big release for mine later today, and all of you guys will have to follow in my footsteps. No, don't do that, because it's probably not going to be a very good bracket, but we'll see what I cook up. All right, guys. Appreciate you as always. Actually, the last thing I'm going to say, I didn't mention this when we were talking about Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham, but you should draft Kentucky guards, man. You should just draft Kentucky guards. I tweeted out the track record. It's something we've talked about before, but it is actually ridiculous, bro. The first round Kentucky guards since 2015, Devin Booker, Jamal Murray, Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, SGA, Tyler Hero, Emmanuel Quickly, Tyrese Maxey. Keep in mind, those two picked 25th and 21st. Ty Washington, the one miss at 29th. Shaedon Sharpe, Kayson Wallace. It's absurd, bro. We're just an NBA guard factory. So shout out to Kentucky. Shout out to you, Logan. Shout out college basketball. Hope you guys are all as excited for March Madness as we are. And hope you guys enjoyed the content. If you did, there is always more Nerd Sesh. You can find all of our full shows with video on our YouTube page. You can listen to the podcast across audio platforms. You can follow us across social media, TikTok and Instagram at Nerd Sesh, Twitter at Nerd _ Sesh. You can check out our merch if you want. That is at thevolume.com. And you can join our Discord. The link to that is at the link tree in our social media bio. And with that, as always, appreciate you guys. I've been Carson Brabber.
I have been Logan Camden.
And this was Nerd Sesh.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see oceanside relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.